fuck you! Australia! Germany!
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Cole River Mountain Watch.
Outside
Cole River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Cole River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It is a minute past the hour on this, the 16th day of June, 2017. Sorry, I was still a little taken aback there by the godforsaken auto-run audio. I hate that. Have I mentioned? I do. I despise auto-run audio. We're here. We weren't here last night. I'm sorry about that. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go. If, in fact, you would like to, participate in the real-time multimedia madcap zany wacky extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. If you go to headonradionetwork.com and click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, you'll be met by Dwayne and Jug of Punch and Labor Man and Squeaky, all capably moderated by long-time, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a Spacing Guild Master, has chosen not to fold space this afternoon in Northern California. So that's what's going on. More folks will be wandering by as Friday on the front porch gets up and running, gets full head of steam under it. A couple of program notes. Let's see. Tonight, the program only goes to 8 p.m. Eastern time. That would be, 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time? Which means, it'll be an hour short, because at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, I'll be subbing over at the Malloy Sandbox, putting spark to the dry tender and getting the little campfire going as we head into the weekend. Okay, so that's where we find ourselves this evening. This is a listener-supported broadcast operation. Things could be much worse than they were, but thanks to everybody who jumped in yesterday and a couple of members of the overnight crowd, we've actually got less fundraising to do than we ordinarily do. And that's a very, very good thing. Thank you very kindly to Glenn and to Tim and Reinhard. As a result, we started the evening with only $170 to raise. And guess what? With a note coming in from Andy the Angry Jew, he calls himself that, not me, okay? You guys pick your own names, okay? Andy the Angry Jew says, the race is on, and it is. That leaves us $120 to go in fundraising to finish the week. So hopefully that will happen between, say, now and 8 p.m. And you know what? I'm just not going to say anything else. I'm just going to leave it alone. Now, it is Friday on the front porch, and we will get I've been in contact with Sparky, and we'll get the front porch going as soon as folks want to jump in there. How to join the Friday on the front porch conversation? It's really quite easy. You fire up Skype. You send a contact request to Sparky Dunk, SparkyDunc, Sparky Dunk, and Sparky will then put out the breadcrumb trail and show you the Bob signal shining off the clouds and here in very short order because, well, it'd be nice to get it going sooner rather than later because of the limited amount of time that we have to talk this evening. We will fire up quite possibly, well, not quite possibly, one of the most unique fora in progressive or, for that matter, any other broadcasting, namely the Friday on the Front Porch Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. If you need a phone, if you need to participate by telephone, well, you can do that too, because that's what the stress line is here for, named after the inimitable master bluesman, gone but not forgotten, Bill Mr. Stress Miller. That number is 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. And that's that'll get you into the Skype group too, because you can hear them and they can hear you. I can hear everybody. Everybody can hear you. You get the idea, right? So that's most of the housekeeping, I think. What happened yesterday? Appalachian Power happened yesterday. We'll just leave it at that. But I did mention. I think we're going to go forward on it. Something to keep the horn going when Appalachian Power isn't. So that's the next step on the equipment fund. This weekend is going to be all about computers. Weekend after that will be about getting the new mix desk in line. I mean, there's a lot of cords and cables and plugging and pulling and patching. So it's, you know, one weekend at a time, and it's all been listener supported. So we'll get to work next on an inverter generator, and hopefully have that for the next nasty ass power outage. Okay. So, in the aftermath of what happened on Wednesday, I wound up not being able to do a program on Thursday, which left me sort of out in the cold, or out in the hot, as it were, because it was hot, as the usual suspects did what the usual suspects always do. Whenever the NRA death lottery comes around and stops on a particular town, a particular place, this time, Alexandria, Virginia, and San Francisco, California, it was a bonus multiplier NRA death lottery on Wednesday. Now, the right wing declared that through people like Newt Gingrich and Steve Cantaloupe's King, both a pair of the more odious exemplars of, what shall we call it? Odious exemplars of us big-brained primates. They ran out to say, see how liberal, see how violent the liberals are? Well, they got guns too, okay? But then the goddess of irony got busy. And, for instance, we found out that one of the Capitol police officers who saved lives in Alexandria on Wednesday was, in fact, a lesbian married to another woman. And, of course, everybody on that ball field spends a lot of time worrying about who goes potty where, spends a lot of time worrying about the fall of civilization, has had hissies about a couple of women picking out a China pattern and getting married, including the Klan sympathizer who at present, we are told, remains in critical condition in Washington, D.C., because of the injury he sustained when he got shot in the hip. And I don't support violence against anyone. I'm nonviolent. But There was a terrible outbreak yesterday of both sides do it-ism. As evinced by thing, well, you know, we've got to calm down the rhetoric from the left. The left has got to what left? Ha 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 ha! Left, okay, yeah, sure. There's a left. Oh yeah. But the usual stupidity about causation that. That it's craziness that caused this and not easy access to firearms. Or that if the left wasn't out there saying all those mean things about God Emperor Trump, this wouldn't have never happened. Yeah, I don't think you can say that. But it didn't really stop... It didn't stop them from saying that. There's a veritable litany of bullshit out there from right-wingers trying to say that. And it even went so far with a post that I put on my Facebook page. So, Bob, stop. Stop for a little bit. Fuck no! I'm supposed to stop when I'm the guy who keeps saying that America has a gun problem and I want for five-year-olds to live to be six-year-olds, but we've got a noisy, paranoid, pasty-faced, doughy contingent in this country who's so goddamned obsessed with firearms that they will put their firearms in front of the right of a five-year-old to become a six-year-old? No, I'm not going to shut up about that. There are not both sides out there, as our dear friend Chris in Germany pointed out. Both sides aren't out there telling their respective followers to utilize their Second Amendment remedies. Both sides aren't doing that. Only one side is. Only one side was in support of a bill that was going to be debated on Wednesday that would have allowed the purchase of silencers and easier access to armor-piercing bullets and maybe across state lines recognition of concealed carry permits so that everybody can strap without being, you know, anybody else knowing it. Yeah. Of course, that wouldn't make any difference here in West Virginia, because in West Virginia, if you're over 21, you know, whether you're a West Virginian or not, you know, you just say you came to go mountain biking here in the tourism zone, which is also overlapped, of course, by the sacrifice zone. But we don't tell the tourists about that, you know. So you come down and you bring your Freedom Protector with you, and maybe you transport it legally. You've got it locked in a case And you've got the ammunition in an entirely separate portion under lock and key. You can transport firearms across state lines all day that way. Yeah. So you never know when you're going to be peddling down the trail, say to Cunard, in the national park, and some ISIS headlopper leaps out from behind a sapling. To headlop you, you know, screaming Aloha snack bar or whatever, and you're going to need your Freedom Protector for that. Well, in West Virginia, as long as it's concealed, well, wait a minute, you can open carry it too. Because, you know, feed them. Wolverines! So that was kind of yesterday, but I didn't get to do anything with that yesterday because I couldn't get on the air. So what I did, well, if you follow me on Facebook, oh, and a little note about Facebook, It's one thing to be friends on Facebook, but you got to go in there, and you've got to also not got to. You don't have to. You don't have to do a damn thing in this world, especially not anything I say. But if you want to be on top of what happens notices that I post and things like that on Facebook, you've got to be a friend, and you've got to follow, and then you've got to go down one more level and say, see posts from Bob first. So if you do that, you'll always be in the loop. And if there's, say, an evening when there's not going to be a program, you know, because there's no electricity, well, you'll be among the first to know. But anyway, I couldn't get on the air yesterday evening. And so I tried to make the best of it. It actually had been blazing hot earlier in the day. Earlier in the day, Frontier Communications had shown up. And Frontier came here yesterday because the day before they came to replace the modem because in the lightning storm of Tuesday... I mean, you'd think I almost lived on a separate planet, wouldn't you? It's like you know, maybe I live smack dab right underneath the big red spot on Jupiter, and it's just constant storms and volcanoes and earthquakes and shit. But I really don't. It's just Appalachia where, you know, infrastructure, not so much. We don't really care about that. Hell, we've got a state legislature that's been meeting for... half a month or more, and still can't put out a budget. Because the Republican majorities want to, they want to cut taxes on all their best, but for all their best buddies, and stick it to the schmucks and proles who actually put them in office. And they can't, and we've just got to have some revenue, and they can't consider anything in the way of a tax increase on anything because, well, their BFF, Grover Norquist, told them it would be bad, bad, bad to do that and that he would be deeply disappointed in them if they did. Not so much in the way of... of infrastructure here. So what did I do? I went out and took up the weed eater. And like I said, it had been real, real hot here because when Frontier showed up to the previous day, Frontier had showed up and replaced the modem. And that took about 2 hours' work as the tech... updated the firmware and everything to make it work. And then we found out the modem had been zapped so hard that it blew a resistor off the board. And we found out that happened because Frontier's predecessor in interest, a company called Verizon, when they installed the box back early when we were putting this whole thing together, they just sort of jacklegged the ground on it. And that's why, for instance, lightning ran in through the extremely expensive Comrex telephone hybrid, which we don't use anymore. And the repairs for which are just out freaking outrageous. Anyway, so they showed back up and they did a whole new drop. They did a new drop, and they came all the way around to the back of the back of the mansion here, and they tied into an actual ground rod driven, you know, into the ground. So we should be manifestly better off. But it was hot. You could wring a handful. You could wring the air like a sponge. But later in the day, long about the time that I was finding out there wouldn't be a program. It began to cool off. So, I did. I put on the bib overalls, the the hillbilly romper, as it has been called. And took up the weed eater and marched off into the sea of grass. And I had a goal. It's really weird. We've got more power and phone and cable and stuff, lines crossing, you know, bisecting the property here on a diagonal. It actually runs over top of our house. So it makes it kind of hard to have a brush pile that you can set fire to because, well, you know, Appalachian Power and Frontier, and it may periodically screw me to the wall, but you know what? They get to. If I build a brush fire that happens to, you know, melt their lines as it crosses my property, they'll put me under the jail. They can do that kind of thing. I can't. So I cleared out, and I still got a little bit more to go, just a little bit more. Okay, I cleared out about 2,000 square feet, and I got about another 2,000 square feet to go. And then we'll have a really, really nice place for the brush pile to burn. And I think I've figured out when that's going to happen. We are fast approaching one of my favorite times of year, the longest day of the year, the summer solstice. In fact, it will roll around on Wednesday, the 21st day of June. Hey, cool. A pagan holiday on prayer meeting Wednesday. Nice! So after the program that evening, I think I'll prepare over the course of the weekend. I'll get all the weed eating done, get the space cleared out. And after the program, and then over the weekend, I'll use Father's Day weekend to do fatherly stuff and drag all the damn brush down to that area, put it in a pile, and have a real nice summer solstice brush fire. If any followers of pagan traditions or animistic traditions want to email me to tell me things that I can do to propitiate the old gods, such as they may be, yeah, feel free. You know, I mean, if I sprinkle some water or some chicken blood or I don't know, whatever. Where am I going to get chicken blood? Go figure. But let me know. You know the email address, Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid at gmail.com. I got a note from the angry Indian here talking about the left needs to tone it down. Angry says, I've been hearing this crap all day yesterday and today from everybody. Tone it down, please. Oh, yeah, you know what? Ted Nugent said he's no longer going to use harsh language. Ah, gee, Ted, thanks. I mean, after 8 years of doing everything but using that word to describe Barack Obama, and after more than 8 years of saying that you wanted to stick the muzzle of your penis extension Freedom Protector Blue Steel Second Amendment remedy up the hoo-ha of Hillary Clinton. That's just mighty nice of you. Real neighborly like, Ted, fuck off. But, yeah, Angry's right. Tone it down, please. But Angry says, when I asked them why the Republicans, the neo-Nazis, and the alt-right don't have to endure the same patronizing lecture, I'm then told, don't make this a political argument. Angry says, I call bollocks. There's only one side in this calling for violence, religious hatred, and racial bias in this country as a national policy. And the left better get off its arse, start getting educated about what politics is, as opposed to the picked policies that favor or interest us personally, and start fighting the ideological fight to develop something better. But first, you've got to know what it is you actually want. Most of the U.S. left has no fucking idea of what it wants, a new system to look or even function like. Just wanting a social system that doesn't suck isn't a political party, much less an ideology or a platform. Yeah, but, you know, not sucking is a starting place. You know, the journey of 1,000 miles and all that, Angry, right? But, no, I understand what Angry's saying. There's a whole lot more to policy and politics than hollering, corrupt DNC, establishment shills, neoliberals. A whole lot more. But, you know, good luck with that. Clarity with a note. The silent, armor-piercing majority militia was thwarted by a left-wing nut? No, the First Amendment was. Larry, meanwhile, says, hey, Bob, sorry I haven't been able to catch your show recently, but how about we make a deal with them? We'll leave the gun issue alone if they agree to ammunition of any semi-automatics being illegal. They can use them for walking sticks, or they probably actually enjoy that and think it was cool in their 1890s Okie from Finoki limited mindset. Muskogee, I think. Okie from Muskogee. It's a place in Oklahoma. Yeah. I don't want to do any of that. I'm sticking by my idea. It's going to be generations upon generations, if ever, that we finally do something rational about firearms. But by God, wouldn't insurance companies leap at the chance to gather in mandatory premiums the way that they do with the auto insurance premiums? Screw firearms registration. Mandatory firearms insurance. Can't drive a new car off the lot until you can prove you've got it insured. At least in most states. Well, same with firearms. You do that, you might actually solve a lot of problems. Just saying. So I have filibobstered my way into the half-hour mark of the program. And like I said, we'll be knocking off at 8 o'clock, so what do you say we have an hour and a half of Friday on the Front Porch? Does that suit? Would that maybe work? If so, jump in. We've already got a couple of folks jined up, and hopefully a few more will come along. But we'll get Friday on the Front Porch started. And see where the conversation takes us. I got a bunch of stories here. Bunch of stories. Because other things happened. You know, at some point in time, it might be good for us to perhaps mention, at the very least, the Grenfell Towers fire in London. The death toll is climbing. People are still missing. And hey, it happened. The people who lived in that place, in that tower in London? They'd been saying for years that somebody that it was going to take that the place needed fire protection, needed a sprinkler system. But that, all things being equal and wealth being wealth, that it would probably take a horrible, horrible disaster to get anyone to take notice of the situation. Guess what? They were right. So maybe we can talk about that. Hey, look, Ma. Austerity. And it's got blood all over it. So, I guess a quick break. And we'll be back with Friday on the Front Porch. Jump in if you wish. The conversation's fine. Right here on the Horn.
Crying parents tell their children, if you survive, don't do as we did. The son exclaims there'll be nothing to do to. Her daughter says she'll be dead with you. While pirate affairs are screwing rotten, light morale has hit rock bottom. Dying embers stand forgotten. Talks of peace will be in trial. Stay your peace tonight.
About 26 minutes before the hour, Friday on the front porch, on the horn, a truncated version. So being as how it is truncated and all that, let us run straightway over to the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, as capably moderated by the one, the only, Spacing Guildmaster, Sparky. Hey, Sparky.
Well, I ain't spacing nowhere today.
Well, I mean, even even Spacing Guildmasters stay in the house once in a while.
Supposed to be 101 at 4 o'clock.
Damn.
If you want to come visit Monday, it's going to be 112.
Whoo, let's go weed eating.
I don't have any weeds to weed eat.
Well, if I keep going the way I am, I may wind up in Northern California. I think it's a kind of a straight shot, isn't it? I'll just start weed eating and just march.
Oh, okay. No, all my weed eating has been done for a long time. Everything else dead that I don't water is dead now.
We're right out of spring and into the dead dry grip of summer. There are we?
Yeah, but a week ago it was really nice, cool. Even had a little bit of rain. But now we're in a heat wave. It's supposed to last all week.
112.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a dry heat?
Well, of course it's a dry heat.
Wow, see, then you're okay.
Let me see. Well, the humidity today is on 25%. Could be drier.
Humidity of 25. God, I can't remember the last time this place had.
It just dropped to 24.
You've got a handle on it, Sparky.
Well, I got one Weather Underground up on a tab. Yeah, because it's.
Well, I'm all terribly excited for the weekend because I'm very, very close to having the Fab Machine ready to bring online, and we've got the workaround for the stream, and this could get real exciting real quick. You said you had a tab open. With the Fab Machine, I may be able to have thousands of tabs open at the same time. Who knows?
Okay. Yeah. Going to be over 100 all week. And Thursday, I got to go for jury duty.
Oh! Are you gonna try to say the magic words and get out of it?
What are the magic words, Bob?
They're all guilty! And all cops lie. And you'll never change my mind.
I've already formed an opinion.
Yeah. You don't even know what case it is. Yeah, but you know what? Cops lie, and you don't get charged with a crime unless you're guilty. So, you know, I'm out of here. Of course, lawyers like Billable Rick would say, oh, what I wouldn't give. Wait, Billable Rick's been on a jury. I've never been on a jury. I've heard lots of lawyers say over the years, you know, I'd give anything to be on a jury just to see what goes on in one.
I don't really care to tell you the truth.
Well, is it grand jury or Pettit?
No, it's just a county courthouse deal.
Well, but, I mean, there's grand juries and there's trial juries.
Well, it's jury duty for the county. It's in the brand-new courthouse we got, which is nice. So the air conditioning, that'll be good.
The old courthouse didn't have air conditioning?
Well, the old courthouse been here for, like, forever. I mean, as long as I've been alive. I don't know what they're doing with it now, but it's still standing there. They probably moved some more offices into it, county offices or something.
Yeah, they just needed more space. Well, let's go around the room. The Clarity was bummed out last night because of the absence of a program. How are you this evening, Clarity?
Well, I wouldn't have been here today, except that we decided not to press our luck and do an outdoor gig this afternoon because they're predicting 35-mile-an-hour winds, and we've already pushed our luck on a couple outdoor gigs this year, and I don't have enough money for repairs if something gets blown over. So we optioned out of a gig today. And it's 70 degrees here, and it's been raining. This is the damnedest June. Even though it can be cool here in June, this is more rain than in the Northwest. My friends in Seattle are still not come out of their winter depression.
And that's just a standard thing, right? The great Northwest winter funk.
Well, yeah, but on this side of the mountains, generally, we get a lot of blue skies, you know, because the wind blows so damn much. But this year, all bets are off. Got some snow in the local Blue Mountains a couple nights ago. So the people that are planning on hiking up into the backcountry for summer vacation, they're going to have to wait, because I'm sure most of the trails up above 8,000 or 9,000 feet are still covered with snow drifts.
Damn.
Yeah, the northwest part of Oregon, they call it the Alps of, you know, and it's beautiful up there, you know, alpine wilderness. Yeah. And if you ever get to Oregon and you're in shape enough to hike up some fairly demanding, you know, trails, it's really beautiful.
Yeah, if I keep up this healthy eating regimen and all the daily weed eating exercise, I might be up for some trail hiking. I used to love to hike, still do for that matter. I don't know what I'm going to do when I run out of yard to weed eat.
Well, I guess you could plant some nettles or something and go in the herbal, you know, trade.
I just thought I'd go door to door and knock on doors and, please, could I weed eat your yard? I got a problem. I just need to weed eat.
Go into landscaping, huh?
Yeah, landscaping as 12-step program. Right, exactly.
Well, I take it in West Virginia, you don't have a lot of Latinos doing that type of labor.
What we have in West Virginia, and I don't mean to be dismissive, is a whole lot of white people. We are 93% white.
Kind of like Wallowa County.
And by the way, how is that spelled?
W-A-L-L-O-W-A, Wallowa.
See, if that had appeared in print clarity, I would have had a 50% chance of getting it right and a 100% chance of getting it wrong.
And the funny thing is, it's just over that previous mountain I described. It's just, a whole couple of collars over to Walla Walla. So I guess the W's kind of predominated when they were naming things in those parts.
A lot of W's in that ancient yeah. Indigenous tongue.
Then just up the road from Walla Walla is Wallula Junction.
Wallula?
Wallula.
By God, if I was going to have another daughter, I'd name her Wallula. That's just beautiful.
It is, but you know what? There's a big old Cowschwitz.
Oh, is that where that is?
Yeah, and when the wind blows the wrong direction, which thank goodness we hardly ever get an east wind here, but I'll tell you, it's a brown fog that you'll never forget once you get a whiff of it.
Worse than being downwind of the paper mill, is it?
Yeah, maybe not as bad as a hog farm, but thank goodness we don't have hogs, you know, big hog raising operations around here. It's all dairy and Montfort cattle beef. You know, feedlots. But, you know, as I said before, the third and fourth largest dairy now in the world are just within 30 miles of me, and both upwind.
Thank heaven for small favors. You know, you mentioned Walla Walla. Once again, whenever I hear the name of that town, I think of I think of Tom Robbins, Still Life with Woodpecker, and Dude Wrangles, Cry Me a River Onion Farm of Walla Walla, Washington.
Okay.
And Tom Robbins in the book says Walla Walla. It describes some of the geography and topography, and says that Walla Walla, apparently in the indigenous tongue, means, hey, clean water here and plenty of it. Why don't we stay a while?
Huh. Well, you know, Walla Walla seems to get rolled into several things. I think it's in the I've Been Everywhere song, and it's in the Witch Doctor song. And I think there's some reference in the Music Man to it as well. The city's so nice, they named it twice.
Is that Walla Walla that the New Yorkers always say it's New York City?
Well, I guess they're older, so they got seniority. But you also know the history just outside of Walla Walla is the Whitman fort, which was originally a fort where they, a mission, I'm sorry, the Whitman mission. And it was one of the last Indian attacks. They slaughtered a bunch of missionaries there. And that was what started the, when they rounded up the Nez Perce tribe, which was one of the last tribes in the West Coast that.
Was that one of those? Was that that missionary that Pope Frank turned into a saint a couple of years back?
I'm not sure about that one because I don't think the Whitmans were Catholic. It was a Christian mission.
Protestant outfit.
Yeah, and they have a college there now.
Okay.
Which is a religious school.
One of these days we really do. I've got to take the horn on the road and just stop and broadcast along the way and see the country and share the rest of the country with the Horn Family Community Congregation. If we ever get to where we can do that, wouldn't that be fun?
I think so. I the more I get to know people and the local zeitgeist and what people are eating and cooking and sharing. It makes me want to barbecue with all of them, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, but you know, with Agnes over with the grandbabies and the daughter, and Ferg's house sitting and everything, I'm trying to figure out, that just doesn't leave a lot of open Father's Day opportunities. So, it was tough. I had a real hard time getting through what was it, Wednesday, because the greatest barbecue ribs joint in the world had free shipping on all orders over $99, and I knew there was no way, because I'm being all healthy and everything, there was no way I was going to rip through $99 worth of ribs. But, free shipping on Dreamland ribs? Stop it. But it was only good for the 14th.
No, you'd just be making some gastroenterologist an extra 3 or 4 days on his Easter vacation next year.
Well, that's about how it would work if I could go to a gastroenterologist. It would be more like me probably caved up in the bedroom for about 2 weeks, you know, living on water and anguish.
Well, apparently there's some people that have been defrauding the Medicare system by pretending they're someone else, because every time I go in for treatment, I get a letter about a month later saying, oh, we're just checking to see if you actually got these services. Do you remember, you know, this date and getting this tooth pulled or blah, blah, blah? And it's like, geez, are they're crossing their T's and checking that much?
Well, but governmentally, Clarity, they got a reason to do that. I was reading a story in the local paper today about how Frontier Communications, you know, the same folks that fried the streaming computer a couple of days ago, they defrauded the state of West Virginia and the federal government out of, you know, a couple of, I think it was billion. I don't know. Maybe it was just millions. But the state of West Virginia got a grant to run fiber cable to, like, courthouses and schools and libraries and fire halls and police departments and stuff like that. And so Frontier then turned around and charged $250 an hour for invoice review.
That sounds like it's probably the same phenomenon as when you get a cable phone bill and there's all these miscellaneous charges there. They're just doing that to the government. You know, this mysterious asterisk charge, you know, federal sirloin flipping the steak charge while we're out for dinner, you know.
Right. That's commonly known as the because we know you have to pay it tax. Because we know you will pay it tax. Because we're going to say that you owe it and you're probably not going to question us tax. But because we can get away with it tax.
Or what we used to call in the restaurant business, the asshole tax.
Ta-da! Well, let's run around the room a little bit more. Let me run over to the stress line and make sure that it's working properly, because good Todd from South Carolina Stan has joined us. Hey, Todd.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm great. I've been eating well, and I hope you have been eating as well as you can.
I've been having some of the finest parsnip and asparagus yogurt you can ever imagine.
Well, asparagus is underrated. It's a wonderful vegetable.
Well, no, I was really kind of pissed off yesterday because night before last, Ferg and I went to the grocery store, and I was low on yogurt, and so I loaded up, and we lost power, and I think I lost about $30 worth of yogurt. Yay!
Oh, shit.
I mean, I don't know. Yogurt's, you know, by definition, it's kind of like sour cream. It's already bad, right? How much worse can yogurt get?
It's already bad. But, you know, that's interesting. I don't know how long, I don't know what when it gets warm. I don't know. It's, well, you know, it's supposed to be good for your gut and everything with the flora, but I don't know. That's terrible. Well, and, you know, I guess folks are worried. I was a little concerned. I was like, oh, I hope Bob didn't have an accident doing the weed whacking. Because it sounds like you're having a great time doing that. I mean, seriously.
I hate to admit it, but I'm having fun. When I first set out to do it, Todd, it was like, you know, it's got to be. But then I started, and it's you get into this Zen place, I guess. And maybe it's something about the two cycle exhaust. I don't know.
That you know, what's funny. Like, I never had a chainsaw. I never did any real too much yard work before I moved down here. But I had to buy a chainsaw. I never had a chainsaw. So I was
chainsaws scare the shit out of me. Okay, let's just say
there's a good reason. No, yeah, but I mean, at some point you have to have one when you have property and trees fall. You got to cut wood up. But that two-stroke engine, you know, it's kind of fun in a way.
Well, I mean, I was looking at them over at Tractor Supply the other day, and damned if one of them didn't have a warning sticker that says, "Warning, if you were an English major, you should not operate this piece of machinery."
I totally believe that.
I mean, it's like the grown-up version of what everybody says to Ralphie in A Christmas Story. "Ah, you'll put your eye out, kid. Yeah, nah, you'll cut your arm off, guy."
Well, you know what? When you see a chain break, and it will break eventually, it's scary. Like when it hits somebody in the face and the blood goes everywhere.
Nice.
But, yeah, you know. And then, well, you know, I have a scar on my face actually from a tree. That was when I was more of a novice, because that was my first tree I was trying to fell. And the thing is, it's not the trunk; it's the branches. And
yeah, because they're little and wimpy, and they'll smack the shit out of you.
Oh, it can be ugly. So that's why they say, timber workers, that's like one of the most, people say, well, cops have a dangerous job. Yeah, not like a timber worker. No, that's dangerous. And you know, I'm not trying to bore people, but I get what you're saying about the weed. I can see that, because, you know, it's like immediate gratification. You can see the work you've done. You know, it feels good and everything. But I got some terrible news for everybody, and I was just terrifying the hell out of me.
Yeah?
Okay. Yeah, this has to do with our friend from across the aisle, Jim DeMint. And it's either Cornyn or Corker. I can't remember which one, but I know it's Jim DeMint. Now, both of these guys are bantering about this idea again about the Constitutional Convention. Now, Jim DeMint came out just a few days ago in C-SPAN. He was just like upfront about it. Yeah, this is what we want to do. We're going to move forward toward this. Now, Cornyn or Corker, they wrote a book about it recently, a new book that they have out. And he kept putting in this this denial, like, well, I'm not really talking about a Constitutional Convention. I'm not really talking about it. But you know how that goes.
Oh, no. We're just going to have a little mini convention. We're going to pop in. We're going to pass a balanced budget amendment and fix abortion. And then we'll just gavel it closed. And anybody who knows about that process, Todd, goes, yeah, sure you are. Because
exactly.
That's what Hamilton and Madison told everybody else about the first Constitutional Convention. And the next thing, you know, we're just going to go in and we're going to tweak the Articles of Confederation. And, but we'll probably be done by lunch.
It's scaring me because, see, everybody's distracted with the mentally ill criminal jackass, you know, and this is happening. This is happening right now. And remember, they met in Philly. They went to Philadelphia. What was that? In February or earlier in the year.
Yeah, they had a mock one.
You know? Right. And they closed off the streets because I have a friend who works. She works right down the street from there, right down Market Street from there. And she was like, they closed off like two blocks every which way. Market Street, Broad Street, Filbert, Juniper, all the streets that surround the Lowe's Hotel where they were having their meeting. Because they didn't want anybody around. You know, they wanted to be able to speak freely. You couldn't even enter, and there's a lot of businesses there. You know, it's crazy. But these folks, just scoundrels, you know. So I think we need to keep our eyes open about this. Because this is serious business. I mean, they contain the whole, they got everything right now. You know, they have all the branches of government, and this is serious business. So I'm more than slightly concerned about it. You know, because you see what they're doing with this healthcare thing. They're behind closed doors. They don't want anybody to read it.
Well, you're a Democrat. You want to know what we're... You get them out of here. Uh-uh. No way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's ugly. And these are the same people...
Did you... I don't guess maybe you heard, but it goes without saying that Senator Shelley Moore Capito, Archmore in a bad wig, Archmore being the... most corrupt politician ever to exist in the state of West Virginia. When he was so crooked, when he died, they had to screw him into the dirt, okay? Well, somebody asked her about it. She said, they said, well, what about all the West Virginians that are going to lose their health care? Well, they're not really going to lose their health care. I'm not kidding, okay? This is fucking real. She said this. Well... they're not really going to lose their health care. They're just going to be in transition.
Transition to what? Dying?
I don't know. The last time I heard the word transition, we were talking about, transgender issues. And the last I heard, transition can be kind of tough. They're just in transition from being insured and alive to being uninsured and dead.
I don't get it. Now, your folks over there, your fine representatives and the people who speak for you in politics in West Virginia.
They don't speak for me, but I get your point.
You get my point. Wasn't it just last year when they couldn't pass the budget?
It was. It was, and then we sent them to budget camp, and it didn't take. It didn't stick.
They are absolutely insane. And wait, by the way, I heard you last week. I don't know what day it was, but you made this joke about Joe, your friend Joe. And you were like, I can't repeat what you said, but that was hilarious. You were intimating, like, I thought I'd heard him be as dumb as he could possibly be. And then he surprised me. I mean, that was, I'm paraphrasing, but that had me cracking up. I mean, he is. I've been watching him lately. I think something's wrong with him. He is slow. He's not that bright. He can't be. He's not bright.
Well, you know, it's a Southern thing. You've probably heard it there in South Carolina, Stan, as long as you've been there by now, Todd. It's a Southern thing. He says something, and then somebody sitting next to him goes, God bless him. He can't help it. God love him.
Oh,
bless
no, don't
bless him. His God heart. Bless his heart.
See, that's like that'll learn you. I thought that was like a compliment. Yeah. See, when people say bless your heart or God bless.
Well, bless
them,
your
yeah,
heart.
Yeah, you know.
No, what's that? You say you want a grit. Bless your heart. and then they walk away. Fucking Yankees.
And then like, I got here. He didn't know what I was talking about.
You want to go snipe hunting tonight?
Oh, that's hilarious. Hey, you know what? I don't know if Clarity can hear me, but he's in Oregon. Is that not correct?
She is. Correct? Washington, she is.
Hey,
hold on. Somebody. Somebody's apparently trying to weed eat the chat.
I heard that. What was that?
I don't know, but it was ugly. But what do you want to know from Clarity?
There's a wonderful beer out there. They do not sell east of probably Mississippi. I mean, not Mississippi, Missouri. It's called the Chutes. It's wonderful.
I've heard of that. Deschutes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had it in Bend, which is in the mountains, right in the center of the state. And I'm telling you, man, they have a brew pub there where they make the beer right there, and the happy hour, the pints were $2. This wasn't that long ago.
Oh, you're hurting me. You're hurting me. I got done with all that weed eating, and Todd, all in the world I wanted, because my favorite beer is on tap right now.
And the Kolsch?
Yeah, the Kolsch.
How do you say it? Because I may be mispronouncing it correctly.
Well, Kolsch.
Kolsch.
Okay. Kolsch. It's not O and it's not A. It's that thing that happens to an O if you put two dots over it in German. Kolsch.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yesterday would have been perfect. I mean, just wringing wet with sweat. And I just, boom, 16 ounces just gone.
Yup.
Can't
it's that type of beer.
Do
that's
it.
That good, nice, light.
Oh, clear, it's. It, I mean, clear. it is crisper than dry oak leaves in late October.
Yep. And like you were saying, especially when it's like made local and it's fresh, because that's the way beer is meant to be drunk. Is like fresh.
Yeah, it's not meant to be driven all over creation.
No.
I mean, that's why if I could drink beer. It's why I want to go to Wisconsin. I joked about doing a reboot of Smokey and the Bandit and bringing a semi tractor trailer truckload of Nuglera spotted cow back to West Virginia, but I don't want to do that. I want to go drink it there. I don't want to import the idea of Friday Fish Fry to West Virginia. I want to go there and I want dadgummit, you know. I want it right out of that fresh, clean, pristine, beautiful water. You know, the walleye.
That's what I was about to say, because it's about the water. Like, you know, like in Philly, you know, they're along the Schuylkill. They have all these, you know, springs, and they used to store the beer in these caves along the side of the river. And I mean, up until when I was a little kid, there was spring water still coming up, and people would line up with these jugs because it was fresh. It was cold. I mean, it was like, you know.
Oh, I know. I know a spot up near Lake Superior, an artesian well where 100,000 year old water just jumps out of the earth.
No way.
Way.
Oh, listen, that's beautiful. But listen, by the way, this is the best connection I've had on this line on our friend's line, who we miss. Ever really? This is great. I can hear you. You can hear me. This is good.
What a wonder it makes to swap phones.
Well, it's a good thing, and I'm still trying to get my fiance to call in because she's heard the show and she's still trying to figure it out. But she's got a lot to say. She'll call in one day. I'm working on her. She's like chicken, but she'll get to it. Yeah, so, you know, we were just trying to eat the sausage around here, get the connector going. And you had me cracking up, too. How can they have it in New Hampshire or someplace way up in New England, and you can't get it? That's ridiculous. That just is bullshit.
I'm still trying. I ain't succeeding, but I'm still trying.
All right, man. Well, hang in there.
Well, you too. Listen, just stay connected if you want to. I mean, jump in. I mean,
yeah.
We're just talking individually, but hopefully we'll get more into the conversation. I've got squares for two people that I don't see pictures or anything attached to right now. But Sparky, am I still connected to the Skype group?
Yes. One is John Forrest and the other is Les.
Oh, okay, cool. Les and John are with us. All right, well, let's jump in and let's check in with Steve from Georgia Stan, who had to work late this evening. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Bob. What's going on?
You are, man. Long day at the salt mine?
Yeah, well, the Win 10 Creators Update, version 1703, I hate the way Bill Gates just commandeers your computer, and I even had the Geek Squad dude up here, and he tried to program it so that he couldn't do that. It could only come in after midnight, but he cautioned me. Look, I make no guarantees. So, you know, I got such small bandwidth. It was a 3 gig download. I couldn't work for a whole day. So I had to double up today, man. And, man, sometimes Bill Gates just pisses me off, man.
Hey, you're going to hate me for this, but I got to tell you.
Go ahead.
The fab machine that I'm building, I took that update on the fab machine.
Probably got it in 10 minutes, right?
13 and a half. I put a timer to it.
The Windows 10 Creators Update.
Yep.
And even with the reboot and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Hell, it took hours to reboot.
Oh, Jesus. The reboot on the fab machine? That damn thing's booted up before my finger's off the power button. It's like how Muhammad Ali used to say that he was so fast he could be in bed before the light was out. This thing is... blazing.
Well, if you'll notice, you no longer have Skype preview. You actually have Skype. I don't know if that's...
I haven't gotten around to looking that far into it.
Yep. You actually got Skype, the real deal, man. But other than that, doing good. The rubes are driving me nuts. I need to quit listening to Washington Journal. You know, it's just...
You can stop because Todd does that for us.
So we don't have to.
Right. I mean, all praise Todd. Todd goes out and takes one for the team every morning. Right, Todd?
You got it right.
But what really pissed me off with these legislators, after the shooting, they all said, we're going to get together and create some lucrative legislation. And I thought, well, it's about damn time. And you know what it was? They're creating legislation to protect themselves. When they're out doing their town meetings and whatnot, they want capital protection.
Oh, yeah?
They don't give a damn about us, man. I mean, how am I going to get capital protection? I can't. You can't. And there's just as many nuts running around.
Folks at the San Francisco Package Processing Facility of UPS can't either.
That's right. It happened at the same time.
And that's, you know, that's, Steve, that's a little something. Like I said, I get out there, I get the weed eater going, you know, the intellect, because a lot of my time is spent, you know, writing, thinking, making connections, skull work. So something kind of magic happens when I'm getting to do some physical labor. And I'm sitting there just... Do I do that okay?
It sounded just like a weed eater.
Okay. And it occurred to me that Klan sympathizer Steve Scalise, and look, I'm not trying to be a dick here. What I'm about to say is a fact. One, Steve Scalise is a Klan sympathizer. Okay? It's beyond question. David Duke tweeted, my dear friend Steve Scalise. My friend, Steve Scalise. Steve Scalise is a Klan sympathizer. So when I say Klan sympathizer Steve Scalise, that's me. That's not me calling him a dirty, inbred, filthy, fucking son of a bitch. That's me saying that Steve Scalise is a Klan sympathizer because he sympathizes with the goddamn Klan. Okay?
He is what he is. Yep. I hear you, brother.
Steve Scalise, Klan sympathizer, we are told, is still in critical condition, has a long, hard row to hoe. But you know what?
Shattered his pelvic.
But you know what? He is at present in a hospital bed receiving the best care that money can buy. And you know what? And this will kind of maybe this sort of pulls things into perspective. Some of that care that he's receiving was paid for by three people in San Francisco who were blown away because of policies that Steve Scalise supports. Now that's not saying I'm not saying anything about Mama. I'm not talking about what he looks like or his appearance or body shaming or you know saying that you know that he was dropped on his head at birth or his mama had to put a pork chop around his neck when he was little to get the dog to play with him because he was so fucking ugly. I'm not saying any of that. I'm talking about facts. And the fact is, every one of those Republicans there has health care that has been provided to one degree or another by people who have been murdered as a result of policies that they support through their worship of the National Rifle Association. Anybody chime in? Have I said anything untrue?
No. Amen, brother. I mean, who's going to take care of us when we get some idiot with an assault rifle goes off?
Answer, you know, nobody.
Nobody.
And justice for all.
There we go, Clarity.
And see, that
goes back to this other thing that I've been hammering on for eons. And that is, what happens when people without health insurance get accidentally or intentionally shot? The NRA has never come out in favor of universal single-payer health care because the NRA doesn't give a good old-fashioned goddamn about what happens to the people who get shot as a result of the laws that they seek to impose upon this country. Period. And the for-profit media isn't worth a tinker's damn at asking that question because they haven't. When's the last time you saw a follow-up story on somebody who had been shot in one of our NRA death lottery moments in the United States? Anybody? Ever? When's the last time there was a for-profit media story about the struggles of a shooting victim to deal with the medical bills? Ever? And you, me, we, us, we're the ones who are supposed to shut the fuck up? Were you going to say something, Sparky?
I was thinking, but I didn't say anything.
No, I heard a talk type noise.
Might have been me. People say me and Duncan sound alike, but.
No, I was just thinking 30,000 dead people. That's a lot of.
Yeah.
No, that's a lot of insurance money.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of people paying for the health insurance of people who want more guns in more places and, you know, more of these things.
And somebody answer me this: why does Joe Sixpack feel the need to have an assault rifle? What purpose?
Well, no. See, Steve, you're not allowed to ask that question because it's a constitutional right, and ain't nobody got no right to ask nobody why they need a gun. That's like asking me why do I need an Echo instead of a Steel in my weed eater? Okay, it's a matter of personal choice.
Where do we draw the line? Missiles, nukes? I mean. When all this was written up, the way I understand it, it was in case you wanted to uprise against a
tyranny government. We're not going to be able to do that now. There's no way. They got tanks and nukes and there's no way we're going to be able to. So these, and back then they just had muskets that took, what, 5 minutes to load. And these gun laws are archaic, and people are fucking dying, man, and they're dying daily by the thousands. And I don't know when we're going to wake up.
Yeah, and you know what the Republicans say to that, Steve? Thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah, when you're bleeding out on the street.
Wait, you survived the shooting? Damn it. Well, what? You've got $373,000 in hospital bills that you can't pay because you don't have insurance, and the guy who shot you is judgment proof because the only thing you had of any value was these goddamn guns? Thoughts and prayers. Here, have some thoughts and prayers.
Was I incorrect the way I interpreted the Second Amendment, Bob? Second Amendment?
No. No, we've had all kinds of gun regulations all through the history of this country. Once upon a time, because of that well-regulated militia language in the Second Amendment, in the George Washington administration, the Congress passed a law saying that everybody who was in the militia had to keep a certain amount of powder and shot on hand in case they were called up.
They didn't want a tyrannical King George situation to arise.
And they were also, you know, not to get off into the ancient Roman weeds again, but they were also modeling themselves on the Roman Republic. And the Roman Republic, in its classical form, the legions were not a standing army. The legions got together every spring on the Campus Martius, the Field of Mars, when they decided who they were going to go out and slaughter the shit out of and take their land. And it was all propertied landowners. And if you had this much property, you were a member of the infantry. If you had this much property, you were a member of the cavalry. And that put you into the equites, the equestrian class, which was the class just below the senators. And that was what they had in mind. All of these right-wingers prattling on about the original intent of the framers. Well, you know what the original intent of the framers was? Not to have a goddamn army that ate up half the fucking government budget. That's what the original intent of the framers was. And they were taking that model off of Great Britain as well, because Great Britain had a standing navy, but when it was time to rouse up the redcoats, they had to be, you know, recruited.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Did you, I don't know if you already talked about this, but, you know, in that case in
somebody's making
Minnesota,
a lot of background noise. I can't hear my friend.
Steve in New York.
Stand by, Todd. Hello? Yeah, go ahead, Todd.
Oh, I was just saying, you know, you're talking about the rights of gun owners and this and that. You know, that case in Minnesota.
Yeah, Philando Castile. Philando. It's okay to shoot the black guy because you're scared of the black guy.
He was totally legal, and if you just the logic of it, he had his girlfriend and a kid in the car, and then, you know, a toddler. Why would he act up? Why would he even act up?
Well, he didn't. He didn't. Yeah, the defense was, well, you know, he failed to follow orders. Let's recall for a moment that the stop itself, Todd, was bullshit. The stop should have never happened.
What happens when you're stopped? What's the first thing they ask you to produce?
License and registration. He wasn't driving.
Where do most men keep their license and registration?
Wallet. Glove box. Wallet for the license, glove box for the registration, and proof of insurance.
Period. And it's either in the glove box or it's in your pocket. He told the cop that I have a firearm. I have a license for it.
Yeah, but by the time it got to trial, that morphed into, I saw a firearm and I felt unsafe, and he failed to follow orders, so I had to kill him. He just needed a good killing, that's all.
So this is what I had to say. It's going to be a fucking bloody summer. Watch. It's going to be real ugly this summer, because that is the perfect, you can't follow the rules in that. Because what that message is saying is that it doesn't fucking matter. It doesn't fucking matter.
Well, I've got another question. Why was the cop only charged with second degree manslaughter?
I will say this. I understand that.
Because I mean, why not heat of, let's call it second degree murder, heat of passion murder. Well, it wouldn't be nice to charge a police officer with murder now, would it?
Yeah. No, it looks bad. It would never float. And remember that Minnesota has a terrible case history. Cops never get charged. First of all, they never get charged. That was like a handful. I mean, as long as they've been keeping records, I mean, it's in the single or double digits. Oh, since they've been keeping records, which is probably since the 20s, probably. But no, I have to look at the UCR. I don't know, but it's probably since the 20s. But yeah, so I just find that very disappointing on the heels of what happened in Oklahoma. You know, with the female cop shooting the guy, you know, dead because she was scared because he was big and black and he was walking away from her. But, you know, apparently his dick fucking jumped out of his pants and hit her in the head and she was just scared. I don't know what the fuck happened with that one.
I know.
You know, so I just had to put that in there when you're talking about constitutional rights, because apparently there are two sets of laws. Because I know when I went for my CCW, and you know that story. I've told that.
Like, oh, yeah.
And so, you know, and it's not even all about you want to walk around with a gun. It's about transporting a weapon. Because what happens when you got to go to the gunsmith and you got to take it out of your vehicle into the gunsmith? They could be standing right there and like, oh, sorry, you got an illegal weapon. Like, I'm going to the gun store. You know, it's right here. But, you know, that's the law. You know, like Jeff Sessions. Why does that motherfucker have a job? How many times do you have to fucking lie in front of Congress? So, anyway, I just had
He's to got immunity there in. Because he's the attorney general. Don't you know that if the attorney general tells a lie, it's not, you know, prosecutable?
Right.
Yeah, right.
Is that, what's that called? Prosecutorial discretion?
Yeah, right.
Republican discretion. Hey, we haven't heard from John in Central PA. Are you there, John? Huh? Okay, well, it's 22 minutes past. Stand by, John. It's about 22 minutes past the hour. We're going to talk to John here in a second. And just a quick reminder, Andy got us started this evening. We got $120 in fundraising to go, 12 at 10, 10 at 12. 1 at 120, 2 at 60, you know, 4 at 30, 3 at 40, blah, blah, blah. And Andy got us started, and then so we've got about 38 minutes to go in the program, and it would be awfully nice if we could pick up that extra, make up that extra $120 or so, just saying. But anyway, go ahead, John. John?
Oh, hey, how's it going, Bob?
Good, good. How about you?
Sorry about that. I had it on mute, I think.
It's all right.
Well, not so good, man. Like, I'm not going to lie, I didn't get much sleep these last 2 days since this shooting thing, because something just reeks horrible of this. I think this is like, it's a big deal because they immediately jumped on Peyton, like, hanging that around Bernie supporters' necks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a huge smear campaign against Bernie. Huge. And it's scaring me because it's like they get away with the same ridiculous stuff, like Steve King telling like some reporter that it's Obama's fault because he divided the country. You know, and then some Democrat somewhere was being interviewed, and he said like the opposite. He was basically saying that Trumpism is kind of in part to blame because of this, which that's what I think too.
Well, look, only one candidate in the last election urged his supporters to take their Second Amendment remedies out on people with whom they disagreed. And you might recall that Trump actually urged his mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking followers to use the Second Amendment on, in particular, Hillary Clinton. Now, I realize Hillary's the devil and that there's a whole lot of precious little so-called lefties who would have danced joyfully in the streets if they had done that, but it's still wrong.
Oh, yeah. And it's like every time, like, I don't know, they just, the media jumps on everything that they do. It's like they're the lapdog. When I say media, like CNN and all the big ones, I mean, like, last few days, all I've seen is all about how this guy's a Bernie supporter. That's all they're doing. You know, that's
yeah,
like,
and I'm scared to death. I hope to God that they've upped Bernie's security detail, if he even has one. I mean, he's not a presidential candidate anymore. I hope he's got some sort of security, because the incredibly violent, incredibly ignorant, they know when they hear dog whistling, because it's what they respond to. Hey, I just heard Steve unmute in New York. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how is everyone? I have to chime in about this. I think I emailed you, Bob, my feelings about this. And people are going. And I just want to be very clear. This is my Agent Fred knows this. This is my views. It's nobody else's. First of all, I had a real hard time finding much fault with the guy. You know, when a person, and granted, he had some, he never should have had a gun. That's the bottom line. He had a, my understanding was there's a quite a bit of domestic violence in his background and history. So he never should have had a gun. Putting aside whether or not anyone should have a gun, of, at least of that caliber, he shouldn't have had one. But I have a hard time feeling certain. I don't feel bad, frankly, for Steve Scalise. And again, I know this is going to sound really harsh, and I don't care. I hope the guy's in excruciating pain. Because I look at what this guy by his vote, this guy by the person he supports, is actively seeking to take the health care away from 23 million people, to cause far more death and suffering and destruction than was inflicted upon him. So I have a hard time feeling sorry for the guy, or his family, or any of them.
Well, don't worry, he's not experiencing a whole lot of pain, because, see, he's got the best health care that the United States can offer, and he's apparently in, we're told, rough shape. And so he's getting all the opioids he can stand, and nobody's worrying about him becoming a junkie.
Sure.
Because, you know,
something else I want to say.
Good people don't become junkies.
Of course not. Of course not. Who was the person who was speaking before me? I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Oh, that was John in Central PA.
Okay. You know, John, I think this segues, your comments segue into something we were talking about last week, is that it shows once again how bad the Democrats are at politics.
Yeah, actually, the other day. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, when this happens, I mean, it's not like we on the left or Democrat, whatever we call ourselves, we don't have ample opportunity to paint, to tar, whatever you want to use it, whatever word you want to use, to tar and paint violence and hatred and destruction to the people on the right. Yet, where do we see? We don't see any of that. The day after this, actually the day, the afternoon after this happened, what got put into motion was the right wing echo chamber. You know,
yeah.
When a right winger does this, which is much more frequently, the only time anyone ever alludes to the fact that someone's a right winger or a nutball or they find Bill O'Reilly's books or the protocols of the learned elders of Zion in someone's car or apartment is it gets by chance reported on the news. If the Democrats knew how to do politics, which they don't, when something like that came out and happened, there'd be fundraising letters. There'd be all of this. There'd be the echo chamber would start up. And you know what? And I just wish some Democrat would say, when some right-winger says, well, this isn't the time, you know, this isn't the time to start politicizing this. I wish someone would say, and pardon my French, fuck you. Then when is the time?
Never.
When is the time? Yeah.
And if they were being honest, they would say never.
Now. And yeah, right.
And because, people, see, there's Steve, there's a, not to interrupt, but there's an interesting historical parallel here. Back in the 19th century, people began to realize that slavery was a filthy and odious bit of business. Hateful, vile, brutal, murderous. And so the abolition movement began gathering steam. And because the South had the votes to do it, they actually passed a rule to apply to members of Congress that no one could bring up the issue of abolition at any time in the Congress. John Quincy Adams got slapped down a rat hole for it. And it's the same thing with firearms in America. If we try to persist in having a conversation about our sick, disgusting, vile, unhealthy, murderous, blood-soaked obsession with firearms, the ideological great-grandchildren of the pro-slavers of the 19th century will say, no, we can't have that conversation because freedom. And remember, the South, in the abolition debate, cited freedom then, too. It was their freedom to own slaves. It's the same idea.
I completely agree with you, 100%. But you understand, I mean, and I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying anything new. This is stuff we've talked about on here a million times. But until the Democrats start coming to a knife fight with an AK-47, this is going to continue to happen.
Probably not the best analogy, Steve, but I get your point.
Okay. Fair enough. But, okay. Until we start coming to a fight, any fight, with a lot more, I know this is another bad analogy, but I don't know what else to say, firepower or knife power, until we bring a machete to a knife fight, how's that?
On equal terms, bro.
Not even equal. More. Right? I mean,
How about we say it this way? You and I are both sports fans, Steve. Have you ever heard a coach at the post-game interview saying, well, I don't know. I thought I had the team prepared. But you know what? They just wanted it more than we did.
Okay.
How about we say, until we want it more than they do?
Right. I mean, I don't understand. I, you might tell you something, Bob. I remember last Christmas, I was in Canada at the time. I was walking across the bridge over the Rideau Canal in Ottawa to see my partner. It was icy. It was gross. And you were talking to Eric Bjorn. And the conversation was about, why is it that the Democrats over and over and over again keep trying to apply this play nice paradigm and keep losing? And Eric and you made the point that because there's money in losing. Robbie Mook made all kinds of money in losing.
Yeah.
And it's starting to look like this weird kind of, you know, codependency relationship where it's Democrats lose and Republicans win. And Republicans win.
Yeah, look, when the Harlem Globetrotters toured the country, they played the Washington Generals in every game. Okay? The Generals toured with the Globetrotters. And guess what? The Generals got paid too, even though they lost every game. And right. You know what? They may have even had the greater talent, because it takes a lot of talent to play basketball deliberately badly. We've got a lot of talent. but we do not know how to use it, and we do not at this point want it more than the other side does. Because and part of the reason that we don't want it more than the other side does is because we cannot get together on certain basic ideas. You know, if look, I know I'm running afield with this, but if Bernie had been the presidential nominee, you do realize that Jill Stein would have still been out there saying, you know, he's just not lib. He's not progressive enough. I'm more progressive. Vote for me. Okay, she wouldn't have canceled her gig because there was money in losing.
Right.
Oh, well, I just pissed somebody off, but it's a fact.
We'll see her 4 years from now as well.
Bob, stop telling people.
She'll be in the race next in 2020 as well because she's going to get paid for it.
Stop telling people how to lose, Bob.
Hey, speaking of basketball.
Yes.
There was 1.5 million people showed up for the Oakland parade and victory thing at Lake Mead. Not Lake Mead. Merritt, like Merritt in Oakland, right in front of the lake.
That sounds wonderful. And you know what? I'm from Ohio. I'm a marginal Cleveland fan, but I got to give Golden State all the credit in the world because they totally thumbed their nose at it in the White House. And I just, when I heard that, I thought, wonderful, wonderful, wonder. Good on Golden State.
Yeah, and
word is.
Yeah, go ahead.
Word is they haven't really decided yet, but you know, Steve Kerr said he wasn't going to go. So if Steve Kerr doesn't go, he ain't going.
Right.
He's their leader.
Right.
And I hope they. Yeah, I hope it would be nice to see an act of solidarity. By the way, how boring? We've mentioned this a couple other times. How boring? How utterly unwatchable is Brian Williams' 11th hour on MSNBC? I was worn out.
Horrible.
I was worn out last night. I was tired. And so I clicked on it, and there he was. I went over to ESPN and watched the 30 for 30 on the 80s rivalry between the Lakers and the Celtics. That's how bad Brian Williams is.
I saw some of that at the bar I was at. Wow, that was – I mean – 30
for 30
brutal.
Is awesome.
Some of those 30 for 30 films brutal. Are great. Yeah.
Yeah, they are. They're awesome.
Let me thank you, Steve.
I just sent some.
Yeah, thank you very kindly, and thanks to Ralphs. We're now down to $80 to go to finish the week. So if we could do that in the next 23 minutes, that would be freaking awesome. And a reminder, by the way, we'll be shutting down at 8 o'clock because I have to get connected to Progressive Voices and swap everything over. I'll keep the streams going, but I'm going to ask a favor, please. If you want to listen to me subbing for Malloy, go to TuneIn and listen to the Progressive Voices stream.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was on the TuneIn. I was on TuneIn, Bob, and our stream is, it's like a tin can. I don't know what's going on.
But this isn't a tech thing. This is the last time I subbed for Malloy, which was like Tuesday, the 6th of June, the Horn family went over and listened on the Progressive Voices stream. And you know what happened in the first 30 minutes? The Horn trended, well, not the Horn, the Malloy show on Progressive Voices trended number one.
Excellent.
On TuneIn. Nice.
Excellent.
Nice.
And I don't know if anyone's been listening to Mike lately. Mike has had some great cold, hard look, you know, the whole Bernie Hillary thing. And he has been really, really good. And I, you know, a lot of lefties need to listen. I mean, Mike really is. I frankly think he's the godfather of the left right now, but that guy has.
Well, I've been calling him the godfather of progressive radio for eons because he is. He was out there laboring when doing progressive radio, liberal radio as it was called back then, when there were damned few others doing it, whether
Martin
it was WSB or whether it was WSB or WLS, Mike was it.
And he was marching and getting arrested too, Bob.
Yeah.
Hell, you you bailed him out, didn't you?
I didn't bail him out, but I was the wheel man for picking him up from the from the jail.
I want to say something, I really hope one day to meet Steve from Georgia, because I emailed Bob and I said, you know what? One of my favorite things is a Southern liberal. And I one of these times I'm going to get down there. I mean, my brother lives in Atlanta. And one of these times when I get down there, I'm going to get over and see you and meet you.
That's awesome, friend, and you're welcome. But I don't want to bust your bubble, but I'm actually from Baltimore. So.
Oh. Well, but you know what?
I've been here since '83.
So you've been there for 34 years.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I'm originally from Ohio, but I lived in New York for 17 years, and everyone tells me, you know, you're a New Yorker now.
See, they won't tell you that in Georgia. If you live to be 100 and you move to Georgia or anywhere else in the South when you were 1 year old, in year 100 they'll say, "You're not from around here, are you?"
Okay. Listen. You know what? Just let me live in my delusion, okay?
I'm confirming it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I got to tell you something, Bob. And I feel like I'm talking too much. I'm going to shut up for the rest of it. You know who I really miss? I really miss Molly Ivins. I would love to see Molly Ivins writing right now. And I have to say one other thing. One person I miss every time stuff in the news comes up is I miss Mr. Stress. I miss that guy. I would love to hear him talking about this stuff right now. But those two people, I mean, Molly was...
Well, I feel the same way you do about Molly Ivins, about Joe Bagent. I would dearly love to have Joe Bagent's thoughts on all of this.
But you know what I mean, Bob? Those two, I mean, just some great wit and cutting, biting. I mean, Molly was great. I mean, I need to find more about Joe Bagent. I've not read anything from him. But I just love that. And that's another great thing about a Southern liberal is they have that. She used to deliver that cutting commentary in that slow Southern, very relaxed drawl, and the person she was cutting didn't even realize that she just cut their throat, laughed while they bled, and took a little drink of their blood, and I loved it. And she was I just missed the hell out of her and wished that. I would love to see her around right now.
Hey, Steve, I got a liberal in Corpus Christi, Texas. It does a YouTube thing. John Brebido.
Okay, I'll check him out.
Blue Dot in Texas on YouTube.
I'll check him out. You know, there's somebody other than Trey Crowder listed as a liberal redneck, and that guy's really good too. But Trey is another one who I just think. I'd love a Southern liberal, because there's just something, and I think it's because they got a lot of battle scars too, because it's not easy to be liberal down there.
Well, you know, alligators only make it so far north before they freeze to death in the winter.
And we are in the belly of the beast.
Southern progressives, Southern liberals. I think you're right, Steve. They do have, you know, alligator hide.
Yes.
It's just that we can't survive north of the Mason-Dixie line. We have to stay behind the corn pone curtain, or we're screwed. You know, we can visit once in a while, but
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Bob, I got a question I want to pose to you or Billable Rick, if you don't mind.
Go. Yeah. We haven't even heard from Billable Rick.
Yeah, I'm here.
He's out there. Why is it that Trump's lawyer feels the need that he needs a lawyer? I haven't figured that out.
Trump's lawyer has a lawyer now?
Yeah, Trump's lawyer lawyered up.
Oh, geez.
There you go. I'll post a link.
Okay. Maybe he's afraid he's part of the obstruction of justice at this point in time.
Exactly. And Steve, you know, you're one too. A lawyer cannot. The lawyer-client privilege is probably the last and strongest remaining legal privilege there is. Doctor-patient, it can be gone after.
in New York.
Marital privilege, meh. But the lawyer-client privilege is something approach. It's more sacred in the law than priest-penitent, okay? But a lawyer cannot counsel a president or a client to break the law. And so the pettifogging ambulance chaser from New York that Trump originally hired apparently thinks that he's done something the FBI might be interested in that might constitute advising his client to violate the law.
You know what I think it is, now that I think about it? It's RICO. He's afraid that his predicate act, that they could use something he did to establish a conspiracy and a pattern of, I think it's a pattern, a conspiracy and a pattern under civil RICO.
Right, and you know what else you could do under RICO, Steve? You can go after the lawyer's fee.
Oh, wow.
Okay, it used to be very profitable to be a drug kingpin's lawyer, because you'd get paid all this money and, you know, you'd be his consigliere. Well, then along comes RICO and an interpretation of RICO that says, you know what? The government can do civil asset forfeiture on the legal fees, too, because the legal fees were ill-gotten.
So, right. Unjust enrichment, so to speak.
Yeah. Ill-gotten.
I have some experience with this. The lawyer, you know, when you represent a slime ball like Trump, you got to make sure that your the attorney's fees that you're receiving are not the fruits of illegal activity, like basically illicit gains. And so you've got to actually make a you in some cases you can be forced to make a showing that the legal fees you've received are basically clean money, essentially. This happens a lot in, let's say, when you have Ponzi scheme defendants and things of that nature, where, it's really difficult to determine whether you've been paid with, a lawful source income, let's just say. This is, it's a very interesting situation. Now, what I was amazed by was how the administration officials refused to claim executive privilege, yet they refused to answer questions by the congressional panels about, conversations that they'd had with Trump, for example.
Didn't confuse me, Rick.
Oh, I know. It's a cover-up, Bob.
No, it's not a cover-up. It's a simple recognition of the status quo. The only way they could have been what those guys did, Rogers and Coates, and Sessions, they engaged in contempt of Congress.
Right, right.
And had there been a majority that actually cared about the constitutional oath that they took, they would have been immediately held in contempt of Congress. But because they were testifying in front of a compliant Republican-led committee that has the say-so on whether or not such a thing will even be considered, they could do what they did.
Right, right. Yeah, without fear of any possible, recrimination.
Can I ask a question about something Sessions said? The first thing I remember him saying, he wouldn't answer in conversations he had with Trump because putting aside this whole appropriateness standard, he made the comment that it would have violated the president's constitutional rights. And for the life of me, I don't know what he means. And I can't even conceive what he means. And I'm wondering if anybody noticed that, and if anybody had a comment or a view or any kind of epiphany on what the Keebler elf meant.
You're talking about Sessions?
Yeah, Sessions, yeah.
I think, you know, I think what he's confusing is he's confusing the ability of Trump to invoke executive privilege with a constitutional right. Those are two different things. That, you know, that's not a constitutional right, the right to invoke executive privilege. That's basically a legal privilege developed by the courts in the Nixon case, I think.
Yeah, no, and you know what, and tell me if you heard this.
It's horseshit,
Rick.
Basically, Steve.
Oh,
it's basically horseshit, the constitutional rights bit, you know? Yeah.
And let me ask you a question. Here's what, I get what you're saying. Here's what occurred to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but first of all, I remember my dad talking to me about this when I was a kid about Watergate, and I remember him talking to me about this during Iran-Contra, where... And it might have been Iran-Contra. It was Ed Meese somehow made the case. This must be where it came from. As the president's lawyer, there was attorney-client privilege. And I remember my father saying, "He's not the lawyer. He's not the president's lawyer. The client is not the president. We the people are the client."
Right.
And when I heard what Sessions said, it almost struck me that he was implying that by asking him to comment, we were violating Trump's constitutional right to counsel. And Sessions was acting as his – that's what it struck me as, because he kept dancing around. He used the terms of executive privilege, or he used the terms of attorney-client privilege without saying the magic words. And then when he pulled that constitutional thing in there, it struck me that – is he saying that as the president's lawyer, he is protecting the president's constitutional right to an attorney?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, you know, as we all know, Sessions took an oath of loyalty to Trump, not to the Constitution. So, yeah, I suppose in his mind.
I mean, that's why there's an Office of White House Counsel. The law, I mean, the president is supposed to have his own lawyer, and that lawyer is McGahn, with whom he enjoys attorney-client privilege.
Well, let me ask you a question, and this is television, so it might not be right. I remember watching The West Wing, and when President Bartlet got into that issue, the guy who played the White House counsel was what the hell is that guy's name?
Bradley Whitford.
No, Bradley Whitford was the deputy chief of staff.
Okay.
Oliver something. No, his name was Oliver in the show. He's the kind of pudgy guy. I think he's a great actor. He had a dark hair and a goatee. But I remember him having a conversation with Bartlet saying, "You need to hire a lawyer because I'm not your lawyer, and attorney-client privilege doesn't hold here because I'm not your lawyer." Am I thinking something else, or was the West Wing wrong?
Well, the Attorney General is not the president's lawyer.
No, the guy in the West Wing was not the Attorney General. He was the guy who was the White House counsel.
Well, what you're talking about, Steve, is I guess they're distinguishing between an attorney for you, you know, in your official capacity as president and in your personal capacity, maybe.
Right, yeah, because Clinton had to have separate lawyers in that regard.
Right. Yeah, because the White House counsel is supposedly to protect the institution of the president, the, you know, institutional presidency. And that's why Trump has hired his own personal attorney now, this civil
Kasowitz.
Litigant doesn't know what the hell he's doing, Kasowitz. Have you, how much do you know about him, Steve, since you're in the New York League?
You know what? I don't know much about the guy. I've heard of the guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's possible I may have actually gone up against him. I don't know.
Oh.
And I happen to look at the firm. The firm is actually not, it's a fairly large firm. I think it's got 100+ lawyers.
Right.
But I mean, if you're going to have a lawyer, there are far better ones you know.
Yeah, but this is the guy. This is the guy who, and Trump is like a dog returning to his vomit. Okay. this is another case of Trump going back to somebody who did his dirty work for him in the business world. This is the guy who wrote the strong arm letters. This is the guy who wrote the nasty grams, the cease and desists, the bilious, blusterous, I'll sue you for $1 million letters. And he's not a laughing stock. And it's something that Trump does. In fact, just to throw this out there, he just appointed Ivanka's wedding planner to head up a federal housing department. Not sure which department, but yeah, he did. Yes, Sparky.
The lawyer that Mike Pence hired.
Yes.
Rachel did an expose on it. He goes all the way back to Watergate. I think he was involved in Iran-Contra, too.
Yeah, they all have pedigrees. I mean, Kellyanne Conway, her husband is the reason we have the ruling that you can civilly sue a sitting president. So, yeah, right. Look, we're right up against it. I'm sorry for the truncated version of the program, but I really appreciate the rousing discussion. We will close out with 5 minutes to go and $80 in fundraising to end the week. So thanks, everybody, for jumping in. Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks for letting me sit in the rocking chair this time, so I appreciate that.
You know, we got to get more. We got to have a rocking chair fundraiser, I guess.
there you go.
And you know, one of these days, I hope we, and I'll shut up. I really hope one of these days we actually have a real Friday on the Front Porch at Bob's place in West By God, Virginia. And
as long
listening...
as I don't have to eat yogurt.
No, we'll have ribs for you, Clarity.
I'll bring the Kolsch as well, Clarity.
All right.
We'll rent a hall and do it right. We're not.
If nothing else, one of these days, I'd like to set up so that I could actually broadcast from out on a porch or a deck or something like that. But no, your point is
in the background and everything.
Oh yeah, or in the fall with the crickets and yeah, mm-hmm. and the waning cries of the peepers saying, I got laid. You know, because that's what the Song of the Frogs is about. We got to get out of here though. Thanks everybody. Thank you, Sparky, for your usual stellar job of moderating Friday on the Front Porch, and thanks for pulling together the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable early. Thank you very, very much indeed. Thank you to all of you who tune in and share parts of your precious finite lives engaging in and with this community, however you so do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you also to our midweek utility prayer meeting Wednesday moderator, Steve from Georgia Stan. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. A reminder, if you want to catch me subbing for Mike Malloy, please go to the Progressive Voices channel on TuneIn, okay? That will help things immensely. So I won't say goodnight. Well, yeah, I hope if you can't, that's okay. So I'll say I hope everybody has a wonderful Father's Day weekend, and I'll catch you in about an hour. And always, Gina, it's all for you. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.